Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Jason Miller, executive editor of Federal News Network, and I want to invite you and your colleagues to join us for our second annual DoD Cloud Exchange. This three-day event, March 22nd through the 24th, will feature technology executives from the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, and of course, the Defense Information Systems Agency. So join us March 22nd through the 24th for the second annual DoD Cloud Exchange. Register today on federalnewsnetwork.com.
Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows,
Cobra Archery,
Camp Chef,
Novix Outdoors,
and caffeine support provided by Deer Camp Coffee.
Hey everyone, welcome to Boner Planet Podcast tonight. Myself, Tim Mazzarana, Dave Thomas, and excited tonight, man. Dave and I have been talking all day today about talking to Corey Anderson, MMA fighter, bow hunter extraordinaire. Corey, how's it going, man?
Going good, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. We're really excited to talk to you, man. It's kind of cool when we get to meet different people from different walks of life that love hunting, love the outdoors. And, you know, we Dave sent around earlier today a YouTube video that was posted on you back in 2019 about hunting and all that. And it was just so cool to watch that video, man, and kind of see your love of hunting in general, which is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are excited about having me on. I'm excited to be here. I was talking to my wife on the porch earlier today. We're hanging out. And I'm like, you know, because I don't do fight media anymore. I don't do any sports media anymore because the writers always try to find a way to mix your words. And I had somebody message me about doing one. I was like, nah, like, it's kind of crazy. I look forward to doing like hunting podcasts and just regular talking podcasts. When it comes to fighting, what I do as a career, I want nothing to do with it. I was excited to get on here to talk hunting and bows and all that stuff because I just love it.
As do we, my friend, as do we. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, you know, how you got into hunting, how you, you know, your passion for it. Tell us about you.
Oh, well, look, my name is Corey Anderson. Overtime is what they call me. Former UFC fighter, now Bellator title contender. Grew up in Rockton, Illinois, small town right outside of Rockford, Illinois, probably an hour northeast from Chicago. I've been hunting my whole life, you know. Fishing and hunting was always a childhood. It was like an activity we did when we did all our chores and we were doing well in school. We didn't have sports. My father hunted rabbits and coons and stuff. His grandfather, who was my great-grandfather, and I met him a little bit before he passed. So growing up, it was always rabbit hunting every Saturday if it was the wintertime rabbit season and we didn't have any sports and all the stuff was done. My father owned a roofing company, so we were busy. But if we didn't have to work, we'd go load the dogs up, load the beagles up in the back of the truck, drive to Freeport, 35, 40 minutes, let them go on the track, and hit, they own them, and we loved it, you know. Running down the track, trying to get them, shooting shotguns, you know. I had my hunter safety course done when I was 8 years old. So wow, I had awesome. My first shotgun at 8, and it's just been hunting ever since, hunting. And we always fish in the summer. So I grew up in the outdoors, whether I was on the roof, I was fishing or hunting. It was always outdoors. And then when I was 12 or 13, we went to a restaurant. It was next door to his archery range. And it was called, can't remember, not obsession. It's another, I can't remember the name of the range, but the 3D course. And I always seen the targets dropping up and down, up and down. And I got my dad sitting like, Dad, look at that. Look at that. That's cool. And like, wait, they shooting bows. Like, we never shot a bow before. Let's go in there. Let's see it. And the guy told us and showed us how it worked. My dad bought a Matthews at the time, and he loved it. And he took me back like a week later and got me a Browning. And I used to go down there probably, we used to go 3-4 times a week and just shoot. Just shoot, watch those targets pop up and down, shoot, get the timing. Then we bought some targets for the house, and we had 7.2 acres. So, you know, we could shoot wherever, you know.
Nice.
And, so we did that. We'd do trap shooting, and we'd go out and shoot the bow. And it wasn't until I was like 16 years old. So my sophomore year in high school, I'm in the locker room talking to somebody like, oh, I'm about to go home and shoot my bow. And they're like, wait, you bow hunt? And I go to an all-white high school. I'm the only black dude in the locker room. They're like, wait, oh, are you bow hunt? I'm like, no, I just shoot my bow. What you mean, hunt? Like, you can hunt with a bow? I'm like, yeah, you never hunt with your bow? I was like, no. So my buddy was like, you got a tree stand? I'm like, I don't know.
What do you mean? I'm not standing in a tree?
Yeah. My dad had hunted with a bow, but I hadn't. So he let me use his tree stand, which was a climber.
And yeah.
The funniest story to this day. Can't remember the brand, but I remember we going to the woods. My buddy's like, all right, you see this tree? You're going to go on. You're going to go up. Well, I never practiced, so I didn't know anything about it. I hook it to the tree, and I'm trying to go up, and he walks away, and I just literally just stay right there at the bottom of the tree. I'm probably four feet off the ground, just sitting there with my feet touching the ground, like, oh shit, I don't think I'm gonna see. anything today. And he came back and like, yo, like when it was over, like, why you at the ground? Like, why you so low? I was like, I didn't know how to climb. I never hunted before.
That's awesome, man. I'll tell you, Dave was my buddy that got me into hunting. And on my very first hunt, he stuck me in the worst possible spot ever because the property wasn't that big and he wanted to hunt the good spot.
Well, I had to do what I got to do. I know you're just going to go out there and mess it up, so yeah, I had to protect myself.
Funny how you remember that stuff, you know?
Yeah, I put people onto the deer that is their first time. I got friends that have put you in a horrible spot and just say, oh, it just wasn't the day. It's a bunch of deer, you know? Selfish hunters.
That's it, man. That's it.
This was on public land. Get out of here, Tim. It wouldn't have mattered where you sit. You have no idea what's going to walk through.
Mm-hmm.
No,
yeah, but I do. Brian shot one the next morning.
Yeah, if that's all pre-set up stands. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. Like, we had no preset. Mm-hmm. It was public land. We had nowhere to put them. So we're like, hey, just sit here. It's close to the trail. In case he got lost or messed around or threw up all morning, which he did the one time, then acting like it was a deer call. Remember that guy came up to you?
That was a very rough morning for sure.
Yeah, that was funny. But your story about the climber, I was hunting with a friend one time and I was trying to film for him. And I had this climber and I was going up a tree and I'm going up the tree. And every like 3 feet up I go, I literally slide down like a foot. So I go up three, slide down a foot, go up three, and it would just keep sliding because it wasn't like gripping the teeth. And I'll never forget, like, I thought I was going to die. Like, I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah, once I learned how to use a climber, I've had a few cheap climbers before I got into the MMA and had money. I would just get some cheap ones and go up, and you, the ones that start sliding down while you're sitting in them, all of a sudden the bottom give, and you sit in the tree and the bottom is like this. I'm like, oh.
How long so you start bear fall? Hugging the tree.
Yeah, don't I had one. Fall. I actually had one. I was hunting a blizzard. It was a cheap stand I got from Dick's, like $90. And I've had it for like a couple of years. I'm up 18 feet up. I'm in the blizzard. I'm hunting the whole time. I see deer. As it get dark, like, all right, I'm going to get down. Remember, it's a blizzard. It's freezing cold. So a little cheap pins, I guess, froze. I stand up and turn around, and the pin that has a strap hook snaps, and the whole part drops off underneath me. And I catch myself.
Oh, my God.
And I'm
out
behind my friend's house. And so I, like, do a dip and just sit there. And I go to call him, and he's at the gym. I call my wife. She, or my girl at the time. She don't know what to do. She got a car. She can't bring a ladder. So I'm sitting out behind this dude's house in the dark, in the blizzard. I drop my glove. My hands are freezing for like 3 hours, just balancing on the rail, waiting for somebody to come and start flashing my light. Oh, geez. Come get me.
Now, 18 feet for you, though, if you were to hang by your hands, you'd only be like 2 feet off the ground, right?
Yeah, whatever. I ain't that tall. Anyway, it's cold. You still break a leg. I wasn't taking a chance.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
So what was your first successful bow hunt?
I was 22 and it was a 10-point buck.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
300 and some pounds.
Southern deer. Illinois bucks?
Yep, Illinois. And that's how you
– Great state.
Spoil you right there. And I didn't top that until 2 years ago when I went to Saskatchewan and shot an 11-pointer. But other than that, like I've shot bucks, but they just weren't that big. That body on this one was just – he was an old, just a thick mainframe. Remember when I dropped him off at the butcher shop and the guy was like, I haven't seen a deer this big in years. Where did you get this at? Like this little 3-acre spot somebody told me I could hunt. I knew the guy. He didn't hunt. Had a bean field and trees. Like, you can go ahead and hunt it. And I sat there many days, and one day it was raining. It was going to get down. I heard ch-ch-ch-ch. And I turned. I pulled my bow back up, and the deer just come out and stopped right in front of me, 20 yards nice. Broadside, smoking.
That's awesome. How was Saskatchewan?
Cold.
Is it awesome though?
Oh yeah, it was great.
I hear so many good things about it.
I pulled into the campsite and it was just big bucks just jumping over the road, running through the car. It was crazy. And like the deer there make our shooters there are like their babies. Like yeah. I sent them a picture of the guy, I don't want like, yo, crazy. Can I shoot this? Like, do not shoot that baby.
Well, that's how we feel. That's how we feel.
He's put the word baby in there too, I guarantee it.
Like, don't shoot that baby. What do you mean? He's like, just wait until you see the one I put you after. And when they come, it looked like a horse. I got the episode on my YouTube channel. Like some of the ones that just come walking out look like, oh, I will shoot that. And they were like, you better not shoot that. And the one that came out and I shot it, it looked like a dang horse. Like, oh, it makes
sense. That's so funny, one. Man. Well, it is kind of funny how it works though, because We you know, our mentality in Michigan's a little bit different than hunting even the big bucks that you have down in Illinois. We got a couple guys that go down there and hunt every year, and they'll be sending us pictures of these massive bucks, right? Like ridiculous
deer.
160s, 170s, which for us in Michigan, those are lifetime bucks, man. Like you don't see them up here in Michigan, and down there, they're just like, nah, there's like a 185, you know, running around. We're going to wait for that one. I'm like, are you serious? Like I'd be done on day one if I sat there. So yeah. it is kind of interesting the different areas that you go to and the different size bucks and quality bucks that you get for sure.
Yeah, that's like my wife's family. My wife is the Quisto, Cody and Andre the Quisto, and to talk to those guys, they're like, "Oh yeah, I shot a 190. I saw a 190, but it wasn't what I wanted." I was just looking at their head, like, "Are you kidding me? Like, oh, you passed a 190 because it's not what you wanted?" Like, yeah, blah blah blah. Y'all is crazy. Y'all is ridiculous.
Like, nuts.
Watching their videos, and Andre like, "Oh, it's a huge buck." I let them go. Like, you guys are crazy. Put me in your stand. Let me get it.
I love it. So, were you able to get out and about much last year with the whole COVID thing and everything?
Oh, I hunted every day.
Awesome.
November. I hunted all the way up until my fight. So, August 29th, like right before Halloween, I think was my last hunt. And then I fought November 6th, I believe. And I was in the stand the 7th, all the way to the season ended. So,
that's awesome. Wow. Missed the one day.
I mean, I'm sure there's a few days I miss with my kids, my wife and the kid, but for the most part, if I ain't have nothing going on, my coaches know after a fight, I'm going on a hunting trip regardless. And in the wintertime, I even said it after my fight, like, don't call me because hunting season has started. Call me in February when it's over. And they literally called me the day season and they're like, we got a fight for you. Like, okay, let's do it.
Let's start it up. That's awesome. Yep. That's the one thing about the outdoors though, man, is like that. That's what I love about it. That's what really got me hooked on it is being able to get out and decompress right from life and all the stresses and everything that you got going on with life. Then you're sitting there out in the woods, tree stand, ground blind, whatever you're hunting. And you just get to sit there and watch and listen and learn and just decompress from everything else that's going on because you got nothing to do, but try to beat that animal that you're going for. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome, man.
Like I was telling Dave when we got on here, when I got on, I had just ran in the house from shooting my bow. Like, how's your day? Like, I just shot my bow. It's a great day now. You know, that's after training and run chasing kids and whatever it is, I love to finish my day with shooting my bow. Like, at the end of the day, before the kids go to bed, I tell my wife, I'm going to go shoot like 3-4 rounds. I got a 65-yard range in the yard, take my 5 arrows out, shoot 3-4 times, I come back in. I'm released. Now that's I can awesome. Be ready. Spend the rest of the night with the family, put them to bed, and I'm good.
I think I just want to say, Corey, it's really important, and I think it's an inspiration to watch you with the archery thing because, you know, it's so important for people like yourself who are famous in different areas to really help promote archery. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we don't see a lot is there'll be some major people that are archers that don't really promote that. Like I've heard Kevin Costner was an archer or a hunter, like they don't talk about it. They're scared to talk about it. They don't like that stigma, I guess. And I don't know why. And it's like, you need people like yourself that are at a different level to come in and say, hey, yeah, archery is fun. You should learn archery, pick up archery. So it's just so exciting to me and such inspiration. So thank you for that. I think if it's people like you that are going to help this industry grow, honestly, it's really, really important.
You ain't got a thing. Me, like I tell everybody, I'm not famous. I'm just well known. I'm a regular guy. And most guys like Kevin Costner knows I deal with the things they try to stay away from. They don't want the backlash of their fans, the people that pay them having a problem. And I've always said, like I made a post Sunday, like I walk my own walk, I talk my own talk. I'm not here to fit in. I'm meant to be different.
Yeah.
You know, me walking back from pulling my arrows at a target. It's just, I don't care what people think. Like I've always been the type, I've never bitten my tongue.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. That was a problem I had when I was in the UFC with the owners and everything. I just couldn't bite my tongue. You did something or said something I didn't agree with, I tell you, and I tell you how I feel. I posted a picture of me and my dad went bear hunting. I lost probably 5,000 followers overnight.
Wow.
Guess what? The next day I posted another picture of us eating the bear.
Awesome.
So you might as well keep on unfollowing.
Yeah.
I'm going to share what I want to share. I'm not doing it to fit in. I don't care about the following. The following stuff is nice. It's great
when
you're getting brands to sponsor because they love to see how many people I can influence and reach out to.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not going to hide who I am
to
portray some stigma to be a fake person to get paid for because that's not me. I want you to pay me for being me. Don't pay me for being the person you want me to be. So if you don't like what I'm doing, it's somebody else that I'm sure that has followed your script, but I'm not the one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You got to be true to yourself for sure.
Let's talk about gear. So what's your gear setup look like right now?
I'm shooting the PSE. I got the PSE Evil 34. I got the Vapor Trail Gen 7X. I'm shooting a Cobra Harvester release. I'm going to hunt with these arrows called Killing Sticks. I used them at the end of the season last year and smacked a deer in the shoulder, like dead in a big part of it, just to see what would happen. It blew all the way through, no problem.
Wow.
Awesome.
Even with a mechanical broadhead, and I've had two other arrows earlier in the year. I shot them in the shoulder. One, the arrow hit and bounced off, and the other one hit and just barely even penetrated. So I'm going to try these Killing Sticks next year, more throughout the whole year. I rock all Maven optics. I got the B3s. I got the new RF1s rangefinder. Camo, I usually use Badlands, but like I said, with my family being at DeQuisto's, talking to Cody, paying attention to what they do at the end of the season to stay light, I just got like some thermal pants, like the brown or green color pants with like a thermal shirt and a different color, whatever trees I'm hunting in, brown, tan, whatever it is, with a big flannel jacket, stuff like that. Let's see, what else? I'm rocking Irish-headed Vapor Trail early season boots, or the I just got a new pair of mud boots, rubber boots that I'll try out as well this season. I think, what else?
How about broadheads?
Broadheads, like I usually shoot the Rages, but like I don't know, I keep trying to, like one of the last episodes I did on my YouTube is a broadhead test. I did four different fixed broadheads to see which one fly the best. Because you know, as a hunter, they all say, oh, they fly true right in the package, but they never do.
Yeah,
you never find one that flies the truth. And I've lost some deer because of that. Like, I shoot one on the target. Oh, I shot good at 20. And I forget to go back to 40 or 50. And I shoot at 32. And it goes way left field. And it's like, what just happened?
Yeah. What the hell's going on here? I shot the Muzzy 1. I go through tons of different broadheads too, by the way. I literally use different broadheads for every hunt. But I shot the Muzzy 1 last year on a doe at the end of the year with a crossbow and 46 yards, smoked her. It was like literally dead stream. I was like, wow, that was awesome, right? And then this year I flipped over. I shot a mechanical. I think it was like a Rage at the beginning of the year, or this past year, sorry. And I had hit a deer in a weird spot and the arrow did something really funky. And it went in like, because you were talking about shoulders. I think I hit it like a little bit high. And it went in like literally, I don't know, Tim, what would you say? Like we were talking about this, like 6 inches, the whole arrow.
Yeah, maybe if that.
It was very strange situation. So after that, I switched back to the one because I was like, you know, maybe I just need a fixed head. I don't know what the hell happened there. So I used the Muzzy 1 again out of a different bow rig because I switched over to the, I think it was the Bowtech revolt, and I had a deer come in at 42 yards, and it was a clean shot though. So, but it flew true as true gets for a fixed head. And I'm usually a big mechanical guy, so I was impressed that it actually did well at, you know, at that distance. It was fun. It was cool to see it.
I was always a fixed head guy. Like growing up, my dad only shot fixed heads, and we shot the Montex G5 Montex since we started bow hunting. That was it until, what was it, like 2018, Thanksgiving morning. I go out, I'm in the blind. Big old six pointer come out. Like the rackets are so tall, I wasn't going to pass, you know. I'm in Jersey when I'm training, so I can get three different bucks in three different times. Like I'm going to shoot this one. You know, I got several coming. And I literally hit him right behind the shoulder. And I wish I was filming at the time. Now I film all my hunts. By the time I didn't, but I know I hit him dead behind the shoulder. I watched it sink in, but it didn't go out the other side. It dug into the shoulder, and I'm thinking, oh, that deer is dead. And like, he jumps, he takes off the top of his hill, and he stops, and he just starts like moping, like he's yipping, like he's trying to fall. So, you know, I stopped watching, like he's going to be dead up there soon. Putting my stuff away, I go to look, and he's no longer up there. Where'd he go? So, you know, I wait an hour before I go to the case. I go check, I find like a little blooded spot, and it stopped. And then we walk this property. It's not a small or big property because Jersey is really
not big public land. Farmers.
So it's like more suburban hunting. And so we go. I got a guy who got a dog. We go. We find a deer. He jumped. And then we never find a deer again. And then 2 weeks later, the guy that helped me track, he hunts across the street. He finds his deer that he shot. And near it, he finds my deer, which is like 3 miles down the road, he said. With the arrow, like you said, it went right through the heart. You know, stuck in the...
Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the Adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait. See your local Honda dealer today.
Shoulder, but he made it way down here.
Wow.
Wow.
He was like, you gotta get a mechanical, man. That's gonna open up and cut him open through the way. And then I went, one season, I went like 8 for 8 with mechanicals. The next season.
Yeah.
I love these things.
You're sold.
Yeah,
sold.
At the extreme rages with the fixed head and the mechanical that opened up. And then the next year I started having problems again. It's just like, now,
yeah,
I don't know what to do. You know, I feel like no matter what arrow you shoot, you're going to have some problem. You're either not going to get a good blood trail, or it's going to bounce off that shoulder.
Well, I think it's important to switch it up every once in a while too, just to keep the keep it fun, number one, but also to keep the confidence up, right? I mean, when you start having issues like that, you end up losing confidence in yourself as much as you lose confidence in the equipment, right? And, and so it's it switching it up, I think, definitely helps, man.
I think the only thing that keeps me from switching up as often as I would like to is the fact you got to always retune, you know?
Yeah.
You got to move the rest. You got to change the sight. You got to change the sight tape. If it might be 100 grain, but it just don't fly like the other 100 grains. Now I got to get new sight tape. And it's just with me being, I'm training 2 to 3 times a day. I got to make sure I spend time with my kids. Like I said, I got a bow shop in the basement. I got this place outside I can shoot. I can shoot in the basement. But at the end of the day, that's just a lot of work. I love doing it. But when it's all
no, over, it takes time done, for sure.
Yeah, I'm just like, I really don't feel like going downstairs and working right now. I just want to relax, watch Netflix or something.
I love Netflix and chill.
You know, I'll sit with one arrow as long as I can.
So, man, what is your draw length?
31 and a half. It was okay. 32 so
you're or on the top end.
In the bow.
I'm going to show you this broadhead real quick. Hold on a minute. I'm going to share my screen. Is it working?
Oh, see, the crown, man.
You see the crown?
Yeah, I see it. What the heck is that?
Yeah, so this
like
thing.
Like a Christmas tree on a broadhead. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's insane. So Thorn, who makes this broadhead, it literally, so for a fixed head, is it changing pictures when I do this?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure you see this screen. It has different size blades, And so what happens is when it hits the target, it actually cores a hole through it, which is literally insane. And so like when we talk about the broadhead mechanical opening and the guy saying to you, you know, you need a mechanical to open and all that, this one actually is just as good because it actually bores a hole that actually cannot be closed. So you get almost like a bullet scenario, like almost like a hollow point where it hits the mushrooms and like, you know, creates a gap. This thing created a gap. And I only know that because we tested on ballistics gel and it actually cored it like that. And I'll see if I can find that video in a second, but it was literally insane.
It's pretty sick the way this thing looks,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's...
So that was single beveled or double beveled? The blades and those.
Single, I think. Yeah, they're single. Only, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're single. It's kind of cool how it goes together because it's in layers. You got one blade, then you got this little ball bearing that sits on top, then you got another blade, another ball bearing, another blade, another ball bearing, and another blade. So they all kind of like move around a little bit. Mm-hmm. They're not going to break off when you hit it. But in the video, what was really cool is when we shoot it, the way that they have the blades in kind of like a helix pattern. Yep. It actually spins your arrow along with the fletching and it actually shoots darn straight, man. It was really cool.
Yeah. So this hole is like crazy. Yeah. Like, cause when you look at it, it like doesn't, this hole looks so much different than if you were to shoot like a normal mechanical, that hole is like literally jacked. I mean, it is going to be, there's so many cuts in there.
It's like bigger than a 45 cal.
It looks like a literal bullet going through, ripping up the intestines on the way through.
Yeah, this would be devastating to a deer, honestly. It would be devastating. So everywhere you see that, where like those air bubbles in there, it is literally a core, which is weird when you think about it. But you got to remember, it's going to be spinning, you know, when it hits the animal. So it's going to keep spinning through. So it's going to create that like where it grinds it all together. Yeah, it's messed up. But this is just one cool head. I mean, there's so many great heads out there.
There are.
But
that's the problem, right? There's too many to choose from.
You can't buy them all. Yeah. I literally go to the bow shop when I ain't got nothing going on and just ask them, what broadheads you got in? Well, we got the Ram Cavs, we got these. And I'll buy like 8 or 9 of them at a time. Just so 45 bucks a pop, you know, I'm spending a couple hundred.
Yeah, no doubt.
Get some broadheads. And then half time, I don't even get to shoot them all. You know?
Yeah. One, and then you gotta find a place to put them so your wife doesn't see them and know that you bought 10 of them. You know, I get it, man. It's tough.
My wife understands the addiction. She grew up in it, so she don't like it, but she understands.
I love it.
What did you shoot before PSE?
I had shot a Matthews. Matthews sent me the Hallen 32 in 2017, and I shot that for like a year. And I went to a trade show, and a guy, Austin, I can't remember his last name, Austin Van something. But from PSC, he was a rep, and I'm walking around, I hear somebody calling my name, I'm looking like it's crowded, so I don't know. And this guy comes over and grabbed me like, Corey, I see you shoot your Matthews every day. What would it take to get PSC to have you shoot?
That's awesome.
And you do the same thing. I'm like, I don't know what PSC want with me. Like, all you do is post, like you post, like you shoot with your Matthews, and we would
get
you.
That's awesome.
Well, at first, like, we'll give you a deal, 50%. And I was like, well, I love my bow now. Why would I?
Yeah.
Go to go pay for a bow.
Right. Like,
okay. But then I met him the next day, and ever since now I've met Pete Shepley and had him come out to the factory, and it's like whatever I need anytime I call him.
That's cool. Take care of me. I was just talking about you actually. I was talking to you with Mike Looper from Knock On.
Okay.
We were at the Total Archery Challenge in Michigan.
Yeah.
He said you were at the one that he was just at
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, I think it was. That was cool. They shoot PSC. So I was like talking about the PSC thing. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That
was my first one. I love the Total Archery Challenge. Can't wait for next year.
Which PSC model is it?
I have the Evo.
Evo. Sorry. The Evo. Yeah, you said that. Sorry. My bad. The We just did a video on they sent us the Expedite NXT. Mm-hmm. And dude, that thing, I don't know about the Evo because I haven't shot that one yet this year, but that XT one, whatever, or Expedite is so fast and so smooth. I couldn't believe it. And I was actually sent them an email the other day about it because I'm like, dude, you guys crushed this bow.
I had an
amazing
partner show, like I was doing a hunt show called Rising Ground Outdoors last year, and PAC is one of our sponsors. And my partner, he loves fast bows, you know, small brace height, fast bow. That's all he wanted. So he got the first Expedite. That was a 2019. Then they sent him the new one at the beginning of this year. And bro, this bow is crazy fast and it's so smooth. Like they usually say, bows this fast shooting, was it 369 or something like that?
Yeah.
You can't tune it, but it's like, bro, the only thing is sometimes the fletchings hit the rest. So that's how we got hooked up with a Vapor Trail. You know,
I had
limb driven, and Vapor Trail reached out to me. It's like, I can promise you this, it'll drop right away every time. And ever since, I've been hooked on a limb driven rest now.
Yeah, that's cool.
Love it, man.
Yeah, so that show was pretty cool though. See, that show is so good because, like, you know, Tim and I were there and we were just talking about how, like, there's so many great brands there, you know, and you can like Kuyu's there, Sitka's there, and you know, Yeti, and it's just so nice to like go around, and especially if you're a consumer and you're looking for clothing, because there's so many options, you know, you can go up and actually touch them and test them. The Kuyu guy showed us, he took some jacket and threw a whole bottle of water on it, just literally fell right off. It was so cool.
Yeah, I only checked out the saddles. That was my
saddle. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. I hear people talk about saddles so much. Like, is it that big of a difference? And I've been telling my wife, like, I really want to try a saddle. She's like, then try one. So
yeah.
There I went and tried, what was it? Tethered. My buddy, he worked, well, he was with Tethered. He sent me over there and hooked me up. And man, I was like, yo, this thing is so comfortable. Like, I can literally just sit here. And
I never used one.
My biggest problem is when I'm in a tree stand, my legs are so long. And I use the Lone Wolf custom gear, the 1.0. So the platform isn't that huge. So I got to keep my knees bent. And if I'm sitting for a long time, my knees start to hurt. So when I get down and go to training, like, I'm limping. But in that saddle, it's like you can change the length of your legs from using the little draw, the hoist or whatever. So I called Cody. As soon as I got done, like, yo, I want a saddle. Send me the ambush. Like, I got you, bro. We have one sent to you right away. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Now, what was interesting to me, and I know this is like completely weird for me to say, but I always imagined it would be hard to relieve yourself, you know, when you're out sitting in one of those saddles.
Probably not.
It's actually easier to easier to do everything, like filming. I have my camera guy.
Wow.
He got up there with his camera. He was like,
bro, you just swing around?
Yeah. Because like when he's in a tree stand, sitting the opposite way behind me, and a deer come, I have to like reach up and like touch his leg, and you hear. Sometimes if it's snowing or whatever, he got a heavy jacket on. You hear it move against the tree or the camera bag. He got turned to get to his camera bag or go between his legs. As for the saddle, he like simulated everything. It was just like, so the camera bag hanging on the tree, I just like lean this way, open it, go in. The deer come this way. If they come behind me, they show you how you can turn around and stand up against the tree. And it's like, it was effortless. And
that's
I was
awesome,
like, I'm going to give it a try.
You know, how many pounds you pulling, Corey?
73. I got the 80 pound bow, but there's no point in shooting 80 pounds.
Yeah. Like
right now, I'm shooting every day. I'm not going to draw 80 pounds.
Yeah.
30 pounds in a session. So I just do 73. I might go up when hunting season comes around just because I only need one shot.
But. Yeah. I shoot 60. So I don't know. I don't usually even be at 70, but I don't take long shots either. So ours are usually 20 yards pop shots.
Yeah, I don't like shooting further than 35 when it comes to a deer.
Yeah. As far as your workout regimen, how does that work? Is it like every day or a couple times a day? Like, how does that work?
2 to 3 times a day, every day, but Sunday. Sunday is the rest day. You know, I wake up, I go to church. I usually wake up and go do like some land management stuff, like setting up some stands, checking cameras, putting out mineral, training my dog. I got a tracking dog. I go train her, whatever it is, go to church, come home, relax with the family, shoot the bow. Ice bath, relax, and we're going to do it again Monday, back to the 6 hard days.
Wow. Is it hard physically to do it still, or do you feel really good right now?
I mean, you never really feel good. You get punched in the face. You get slammed. Somebody trying to break your elbow, shoulder, knees. You always hurting, but for the most part, I see like the guys around me is older, like Frankie Yeager, and those guys are legends, the champs, and the way their bodies are starting to hurt. So compared to them, I feel great.
Yeah.
But compared to the 20-year-old kid that just come in, I feel like the old man to him. But, you know, I still get up every morning at 7:30 when the alarm goes off, ready to go. I'm hop out the bed, excited to start the day. So it hasn't hit me yet to where it feels like, oh, it's a chore, it's a job. You know, I still love it. So I wake up every day excited to learn something new.
Well, I know your nickname is Overtime. And, O-T. I mean, that just tells me the work ethic that you have, man. So you're doing the right things for sure.
So one of your big things I was reading about was wrestling. Like, you started as a wrestler when you're younger. And that helped you today, like still with this job then, I'm assuming.
Oh, 100%. I left the UFC. I still hold the record in the UFC for most takedowns at 205. The most takedowns in a fight. I was, second for takedown percentage and takedown defense percentage and stuff like that. Wow. And so that wrestling background, that's just,
before. So when you're younger and you wrestled, were you winning all the time, or how did that go?
Yeah, I didn't win. I wrestled since third grade, and I didn't win my first match. So I was a sophomore in high school.
Wow.
Now, were you always like the tallest kid in class?
6'3"? He ain't that tall.
I mean,
I'm 6 foot.
I was one of the bigger kids, but yeah, there was a couple of taller kids, like some basketball players, was always taller than me in my class. But
you got to meet any NBA players?
Huh?
You got to meet any NBA players?
Fred Van Fleet is actually from my town.
Oh, cool.
He's like the next town over. He was in our conference. So we've done a few. We did a motivational speaking gig together, and then he helped me, gives away things when I go back and do like fundraisers, meet and greets, and sell jerseys or whatever. He sent a jersey and autograph so we can raise money.
That's awesome. Donate it to the veteran. I just watched this thing. I think you'll like it. It's actually on Netflix. You might have already seen it. It's called The Human Body. And the very first thing they talk about is like boxing and fighting, and how your brain has to do so many actions so fast, because you know when someone's trying to hit you, you got it. But not only do you have to like decide to block, but your brain has to decide the next move. Like, am I gonna go? Am I not? And it learns from itself. It's unbelievable what they show. Like, it after all the repetitiveness of your boxing and testing and all that you're doing all the time, it actually keeps learning and learning and learning, and it helps you later to have the same strike patterns and things like that. It was really interesting. I think you'd love it. It's really good.
Experience. It happens fast.
Yeah.
Like, when you get knocked out, it's like, yeah, I've been knocked out 4 times in my career, and it's, you're there in the fight. You're in the middle of the fight. You're punching. You're seeing everything. And the next thing you know, you wake up. It's like, what the hell happened? And I remember, it was like, they were like, you know where you are? Like, yeah, I was just fighting. Like, obviously, if you in here, I must have got knocked out. I'm like, yeah. But I could have swore I was just hitting him. Like, what the hell happened? It's just, in a blink of an eye, it's the one you don't see. It's literally you a blink and you're out.
Yeah. So
it's like always the main thing they say is keep your eyes on, because the punches you don't see, once those you blink, that's when you go out.
Can you kick in that one?
Huh?
Can you kick in using, like, can you kick? So that one scares me the most.
Like kick. And, you know, that was probably my worst knockout that I had was a head kick. And that's actually how I got super addicted into hunting, to be honest. Like, I was always hunting, but I went hard after this because my coaches wouldn't let me back into the gym. It was, like, such a bad knockout. Like, they were scared. Like, took a head kick and was out for some minutes. Like, it wasn't like I got knocked out and came back up. I was out for a while. Like, they thought people was like, this guy is dead, the way I was laid there. When I came back, I went to the gym the next day, and the coach was like, no, get out of here.
Take some time off.
Yeah, we don't want to see you. This was October 2017. Like, we don't want to see you until the new year, at least. Like, don't come to the gym. And like I said, it was October hunting season. And that's when Matthew sent me to bow. I live like public land right behind my house. I went and got that cheap stand. I was like, you know what? We're just going to go out here, just burn some steam. It was my first time hunting in New Jersey. I'm just going to sit here. The next day I woke up, did the same thing. Next day, and it just came to a habit. Like, that was the only thing I could do to keep me out of the gym. Sit in the tree stand every day. And when the season was over with and I went back to the gym, I forgot I had been knocked out. I had forgot about all the stuff that was going on prior. And I realized then, like, this is it. That's my escape. Like, I have to be in the woods in that tree stand, and that's what makes me realize nothing else really matters. You know, it's life. You go through it, and eventually you're going to forget and people are going to forget. So just keep living your life. And ever since then, I've scouted, hunted, or shot my bow literally every day. I have to do one of them every day.
Or that's awesome.
Like, I don't feel like I live my day.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Cor, what do you have going on this year, man? How can we follow you? What are you doing? You got any big fights coming up? You got any big hunts planned?
Well, in Bellator right now, I'm in this Bellator Grand Prix, which is a tournament, 8-man tournament. It's the biggest 205 tournament, which is my weight class, 205 light heavyweight tournament ever. So we got 8 of the best fighters in the world. We in this tournament, and you fight down to one. And the person who wins is going to be the champion of the organization. So right now we're in the semifinals. I won the first round in April. I'll fight Ryan Bader, who is the heavyweight champion as well, was a 205 champ, lost last year. He's trying to get his belt back. I'll fight him. We don't know the date yet. It was supposed to be July. Then it was August. Now I heard September, but no date. Other than that, with a tournament going on, which is why I stopped doing the hunting show I had with a partner, it was like, I need to focus on this tournament. It's a $1 million tournament, and you're the champ. You win, you get $1 million, life-changing, plus the money you make, and you'll be the belt, the champion. I told him I need to focus on this and my family. That's it. So I didn't get any tags. I would like to do Saskatchewan, but Canada still has the border blocked with COVID. So other than that, I did a Texas hunt a couple weeks ago with some veterans for exotics. But other than that, everything is going to be on the fly. Like after a fight, I'm done with the fight. In the first 2 weeks of the fight, I'm going to book something. If I can go somewhere, get an over-the-counter tag for like an elk or a mule deer or something like that, I'm going to do it. But other than that, there's no plans for hunting. I'm just shooting my bow every day, staying ready, staying consistent. And if the opportunity comes, I'll have the confidence to just go get a tag and I can put something down.
I love it.
Other than that, I'm just trying to push my own YouTube channel, doing the solo thing on YouTube, product reviews, hunts, whatever it is. It's hard. Like I said, without a schedule of what I'm going to do for hunts, it's hard to make sure I'm going to have content. But I have hunts from last year. I have the veteran hunt. I did 2 episodes from that made from a couple weeks ago, and a lot of different product reviews and this and that, bow builds, arrow builds, broadhead tests, trail camera reviews, feeders and different stuff. So just every week I try to get something out every Sunday. Just
how can people find that, man? What is it, just under your name on YouTube, or what's the channel name?
Outdoors with Overtime, you know.
All right, name.
So
we'll link it below.
Yeah, it started off just, you know, just wanted to film some stuff, just practicing with a camera. But then it came, I want them to see me in a different light. Like I said, I don't do the fight media no more, but I love doing hunting media and stuff like that. Fighting can only last so long, but fight or hunting I can do a lifetime.
That's right.
This is who I am. I am a hunter. My mindset as a hunter, I fight as a hunter, and everything I do, I want you to know, it's more to me than fighting. So come spend some time in the outdoors with Overtime, and that's how it started. So
I love it, man. Well, we appreciate you, man. We appreciate you being on. It is awesome. Again, I mean, it's great to have you on just to show your love for the outdoors and talk about archery a little bit and show that side of you, man. It's great.
Major inspiration, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll check back in with you in the fall, see how it goes, and hopefully you win this one. Win it for us, baby.
Yeah man. For the bow hunters.
That's right.
Love it.
All right. Well, thanks, Corey.
Thank you.
See you, man. Take care. Bye-bye.
Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
At Vanguard, this is more than just a retirement plan. This is your cappuccino date in Italy, the beach house with the matching bicycles. It's your rental car down memory lane and weekends reuniting with friends from over the years. This is the future you imagined, and Vanguard is here to help you build it. Because at Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. Discover the value of ownership at Vanguard.com. Fund shareholders own the funds that own Vanguard. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.